Last month, there was a terrible rainstorm. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was terrible. The traffic out here on the bypass from this new red light was backed up well past the building when I arrived at the building. The streets were covered with rain. I even pulled up to the front here so I could avoid some of the rain, and then I moved my car later. It was so wet I couldn't even walk across the street to get my caffeine at 10:30 at McDonald's. But the worst of the worst was the internet was down. And brethren, I had become so needy of the internet. My plan for that day was to finish a sermon that I had already started, but I wasn't, without the internet, able to retrieve my notes, so I didn't know what to do. So I decided I'm going to do some reading. I don't normally take opportunity just to read. I thought I would do some reading. So I went down to the library, and I found a book written by Brother Leon Brownlow, Leroy Brownlow. I'm sure almost all of us have heard of Brother Brownlow. He wrote a book, and in the very first chapter, what he did was he talked about success, physical success and spiritual success. And he used as his opening illustration the one that I'm going to give today. He said that when President Calvin Coolidge, that was so long ago, I don't even remember, was president. He called all the captains of industry to come to Washington, D.C. to discuss ways to enhance spending and profit here in the United States. And so he contacted all of the CEOs and presidents of industry, the oil presidents and the coal mine presidents and the railroad and the bankers and the financial institutes. All of these men, successful men, came to Washington, D.C. to try to help boost the economy here in the United States. And then, according to Brother Brownlow, 25 years later, someone did some research on who was at that meeting, and this is what they found. 25 years later, the president of the steel company had committed suicide. The president of the rail company had gone to prison for insider trading. The president of the utility companies had also committed suicide. The president of the largest gas company had gone insane. Many others had fled the country over various white-collar crimes. Even others had committed suicide, etc., and so forth. I think you see what I'm trying to say. Rather than success in the eyes of man, and success in the eyes of God are just not the same. And then Brother Brownlow quoted someone. He did not give them credit, so I can't give them credit. But someone wrote this about success. This was from Brother Brownlow's book. Success is achieved when one lives well, laughs often, loves much. Success is achieved when one gains the respect of his peers, his spouse, and his children. Success is achieved when one leaves this world a better place than the way he found it. Success is achieved when one lives the best life he can and uses his life to prepare himself for heaven. That's success. I want to use a very familiar passage from Ecclesiastes 12:13 for our text, though it really is just going to set the tone. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to say. This is where Solomon, inspired by God, says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God," or respect God, "and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." What I would like to do in the lesson tonight, I want us to look at the Bible, and I want us to find some individuals who were recognized in their generation, and maybe even today, as very, very successful. But let's see if God would have considered them a success. We're going to begin with Solomon, King Solomon. King Solomon, according to history, was one of the most successful kings of all time. His wealth was unequaled. His power was unchallenged. His wisdom was uncanny. All of this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. In fact, even according to the Bible, what really caused his downfall was listening to people. They happened to be his wives, but it could have been anyone. Listening to people who did not know God. They did not know God, they did not respect God, and they led Solomon away from God. Let me read a few verses from 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites and Sodomites and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor shall they with you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." But Solomon clung to these wives whom he loved. We skip down to verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. Verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord of Israel and had appeared to him twice and commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Now, everyone in the world thought that Solomon was a success. Even the Israelites thought that Solomon was a success. And the historians who believe Solomon was an actual character say that Solomon was a success. But just because someone is seen in the eyes of men as a success certainly does not mean they're successful in the eyes of God. Now, let's look at Samson. Judges chapter 15, Samson was a war hero. And you know, we in our nation today have finally made that terrible mistake correct, and we respect military today. We respect war heroes today. Concerning Samson, his determination was unequaled. His physical strength was uncanny. His tactics were uncanny. But Samson, like Solomon, his greatest problems was in his choice of friends. Once again, these were girlfriends, but it was his friends. His friends led him away from God. So though Samson is a success in the eyes of the people of his day, this great war hero, he was certainly not a success in God's eyes. What about the rich young ruler found in Matthew chapter 19? A success. Let me read a few verses from Matthew 19. Let me begin with verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, this is the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, "Good teacher," or "good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? Why are you respecting me and my knowledge of goodness? No one is good except one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, at this point, Jesus is talking about the Ten Commandments. They both lived under the Ten Commandments. Verse 20, the young man said to Jesus, all the Ten Commandments I have kept from my youth. What more do I lack? What do I still lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect or complete in the eyes of God, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now notice all the good things that this man had going for him. He was rich, there's nothing wrong with that. He was young, there was nothing wrong with that. He was also very religious, and to that we would say wonderful. I would imagine any parent who had a son like this would be proud to say, that is my son. And I would imagine any father who had a daughter of this man's age would love to call him son-in-law. That's the kind of man that he was. The only problem that I can see with this young man is he didn't have the right priorities. Now, in his particular case, it was his wealth. He had great possessions. But with you and I, it might be something else, but the teaching is exactly the same. We cannot put anything ahead of God. Let me read 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10. Though this is also talking about wealth, it also could apply to anything. But those who desire to be rich, or those who desire to be popular, or those who desire to be famous, or any number of things, fall into temptation and to many foolish and harmful desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, or the love of fame, or the love of power, or the love of prestige is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So the world saw this young man as a tremendous success. Even in his youth, he was wealthy. He knew the Old Testament. He lived the Old Testament. But his priority was wrong, at least in one spot where God should have been number one. He put his great possessions. Another successful man is the rich man of Luke chapter 12. Now, the rich man of Luke chapter 12 is spoken of in parable form. But we know some of Jesus's most basic teaching is done in parable form, and we know why. We can all relate to stories like this. So let's relate to this story and then see the application. Luke 12, let me again start with verse 16. Then Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, brethren, he was a visionary, wasn't he? He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my sufficient barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry for the rest of my life. Verse 20, but God said to him, thou fool. Now, anytime I read the word fool, especially in a class or in a sermon, I like to point out what we read of in the Old Testament. I can't say definitively that this is true, but it certainly makes sense. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God said, thou fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all of those things be which you have provided? Verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I believe of all the parables Jesus spoke, this is one that all of us, we find it easy to relate. We have farmers and farmland all over the place. We know what it takes to be a successful farmer. We've seen both. We've seen farmers who are successful, farmers who are not. This man was successful. He was a visionary. There's nothing wrong with taking care of the future, and that's what he was trying to do. And I'm sure his community was very proud of him. I would imagine the local FFA nominated him to be Farmer of the Year every year, year after year after year after year. And it's not that he wanted to be prepared. The Bible teaches us we need to be prepared. His problem was he left God out of his future. He didn't prepare for his spiritual crops that he was planning. He left God out of his future. Jesus said he was not rich toward God. So he was a tremendous success in the eyes of the community, but he was not a success in the eyes of God. And then there's the rich man of Luke chapter 16. We had a sermon about him not long ago, but let's touch a few of the high points. Jesus said, King James Version, he fared sumptuously. That just sounds like a good life to me. He had no doubt a beautiful home in which to live. He had no doubt wonderful food in which to enjoy, a wonderful wardrobe. Here again, his city probably nominated and selected him as man of the year, year after year. It's not that he left God out of his future. He left God out of his life. Though he was a tremendous success, he was not a success in the eyes of God. And the worst of his unsuccessfulness is, we know he didn't go to heaven. And the Hebrew penman reminds us in chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And then there's Judas Iscariot. You probably would not have thought I would include Judas Iscariot in this list of supposedly successful people, but he should be. Can you imagine the honor of having Jesus personally call you to be a disciple? And can you imagine the honor of the rest of the disciples and Jesus trusting you, asking you to carry their purse, carry the money for them? Can you imagine when Judas, walking with Jesus, would come into a village, people would honor him and show respect for him, if for no other reason than he was with Jesus? So can you imagine the honor that was given to him? His problem, he let Satan enter his heart. Brethren, if anyone has ever had an advantage to get to heaven and to squelch that advantage, it's Judas. He heard Jesus' sermons. He saw Jesus' miracles. He was respected by the people, but he became a traitor because he allowed Satan to enter into his heart. And no doubt he found some justification. I can't imagine what it was, but he found some justification. But what did he do? He committed suicide. He killed himself because he was not successful in the eyes of God. And the last person, I would imagine you wouldn't have thought I would include him on this list either, is Pontius Pilate. What a successful man. High-ranking official in the greatest kingdom of that particular day. Governor over the entire province of Judea. Talk about pomp and circumstance, power and prestige. He was recognized as a tremendously successful man, but he blew it. He blew it because he gave in to pressure. And brethren, our world is trying to pressure us as Christians to give in as well. They've taken away our prayers before football games. They've taken away our children's ability to carry a Bible in their pocket or in their purse. They've taken away other things, and they want more and more and more. So are we going to just give in to pressure? That's a silly question. No, we're not. But that was his problem. He knew Jesus was innocent. He stated as much, but he gave in to pressure. And so this man who was so successful will spend the rest of eternity bemoaning what he did. You know, I've never even known parents who named a son Pilate. Have you? It's just not that way. Now, at the beginning of the lesson, I took Brother Brownlow's book and I read that little statement about success. After the lesson, I have rewritten the statement, and I'd like to use it as we close tonight. Success is when we live for Christ, laugh with those that are laughing and weep with those that are weeping, and when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Success is when we gain the respect of our peers and our spouses and our children and our brothers and sisters in Christ, and even more so, gain the respect of God. Success is when we tell the world about a better place, heaven, and that we want them to go with us there. Success is when we live the best life we possibly can, and in the end hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is success. I hope this is an encouragement to us all. Perhaps tonight there's one or more who need a desire, who desire to come forward and respond to Christ's invitation. We'll get Tommy to go ahead and come up. The number has been announced. If for any reason anyone wants to come, won't you come now as we stand together and as we sing.